It's good to be back and have an opportunity just to share with you guys what God is doing. I believe every one of you had an exciting time celebrating Easter or Resurrection Sunday with your families. Again, it was an awesome experience for us to be there in New York. We last few weeks we've been traveling quite a bit. Actually, went from I had to be in Wyoming and Colorado, came home, New York, we ended up in San Francisco, Sacramento, came back, Los Angeles, Costa Mesa, came back. It's been just back and forth, yeah. And so it's been an awesome, awesome experience. You know, a lot of people have a tendency to just kind of move on to what's the next big thing coming up on the calendar, and they just move on. We just celebrated Easter, but it's something where I want us to just take a moment to focus on something that happened right after Easter. And so this is where we're going to get into our message today and just understand what is it that God has for each one of us. Because we do the Easter celebration, we do our focus on resurrection, and then we have a tendency to just, okay, move on. So let me pray. God, thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, God, so much for who you are. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us each to understand, Lord, the promise that you're coming back. Lord, what is it? What is our responsibility? What is it that we are supposed to be doing, Lord, while we wait for you? We love you and we thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Easter time. Many people have taken Easter to be at a place and a point where we kind of put aside the whole focus of resurrection. I'm referring to the world. Now the church, obviously, this is the grand day of all days as far as the Christian perspective. We should celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We should celebrate this Easter, the resurrection of Christ, at least three or four times more than we do even Christmas. I mean, think about it. Everyone's been born, but there's only been one that resurrected. So when we celebrate Christmas, Jesus coming and being born for us, this is huge. I mean, I'm one to just dive right in. But how much more should we put the emphasis on what he did? Many and all have been born, but there's only one that has actually rose again. You can go again to any religious leader. You can go to their tomb and you could see that the body of that religious leader is there. But there's only one where you can go to the tomb, and thousands upon thousands daily, weekly go to Jerusalem to look at this empty tomb to see that Jesus isn't there, that he's not there, that he rose again. Now, I'm not giving a resurrection message here, but I want to speak a little bit about after, when he rose again and he came and presented himself to the disciples and to the people that were there. They were shocked. Most of them, some didn't even recognize him as he was walking down the road to Emmaus. The two that were walking, these disciples, as they were walking, a third person walked up next to him, and he's asking him a question. So what's going on? Where have you been? And he says, what, have you not been around? Have you not heard what's happened? He goes, no, why don't you tell me? And so it was Jesus himself actually presenting himself to these individuals. The Emmaus, walking back to Emmaus, was literally a mindset of these disciples. Well, Jesus is gone. I guess we just go back to what we know to do. I guess we're just going back to what we're accustomed to. And Jesus then revealed himself to them. When he did this, their lives changed and their lives turned. When they came to the rest of the disciples, they were all afraid inside a room. They were fearing because what the religious leaders did to Jesus, more than likely they're going to come after the disciples next. So they were hovering and afraid, and they were inside a room. When then Jesus appeared, he didn't knock on the door and say, hey, open up, let me in. The Bible says that he literally appeared through the wall into the room in this new body that he had. I mean, the body, the Bible talks about this body that Jesus received, we will receive. I don't know if that thrills you or not, that one day you'll be able just to walk through walls, just be able to appear. But he actually did. And he says, why are you afraid? Thomas, this is the story here. Thomas was one that doubted because he hadn't seen Jesus yet. And inside that room, Jesus literally extended his hand and he says, go ahead and touch. Touch in the wound and touch where? They pierced. And they stabbed him on the side. It's something that Thomas was one that literally traveled and worked and lived with Jesus. And there's just that one time throughout all history now, he's known as Doubting Thomas. He's got one mistake on him, and it stuck with him for the rest of it from that point on. I didn't even feel like that way sometimes with some people. It's like, man, everything was good, but I just did one bad thing, and you can't forget about that. Everything's there. Here, in this situation, I'm gonna dive into a portion of Scripture where Jesus was walking on the beach, and the disciples were out there. Literally, again, going back to what they knew. Jesus appeared to them, but he wouldn't stick with them. Like, you see, 3.5 years, they traveled with Jesus. Day and night, they were there. But now, Jesus would appear, and then he would leave. And it seemed like they would just go back. These two were going back to Emmaus. These others went back to fishing. This is what we do. And so they went back to the world that they knew before. When Christ is a part of your life all the time, you're literally a changed person. When Christ becomes a part of your life part of the time, then we have a tendency to go back to the ways of the world. We have a tendency to go back to the ways of what we knew before we met Christ. We're going to look into some scripture. Before I go there into the book of John, I want us to go into the book of Genesis. I'm going to tie something in here that I just felt when, as I was preparing and praying for today, I wanted us to just dive into this. Because God hasn't changed. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to all the birds in the sky and all the creatures and move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw the all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. Again, in the days of creation, on that sixth day, he literally told Adam and Eve, he said, the earth is for you. Now, all over the world this weekend, everyone's celebrating Earth Day. And many times we don't get reminded of Earth Day until Disney comes out with the new video, the new movie. This next one's pretty amazing. If you saw clips of it, it's about animals in China. And it's really, really, I mean, it's a beautiful. I've seen just a few of them, and it's just some of the most powerful videos of or movies that Disney's ever put out, just following the life of certain animals around the world and their habitat and their life and the dangers they deal with, and it's usually mankind that causes the problem here. But as I read the scripture and I read it here, it says here that everything that was created, from the animals to the plants to the earth itself, was created for mankind. Not instead of. We understand that sin comes into the world and comes in through man. And even because of the sin of man, the earth was cursed. It says that there will be now weeds and thistles and thorns. I mean, raise your hand if you hate dandelions. Come on. I hate those things, and my yard is filled with them. And we're getting this next week. I called True Green already. Come out, guys. They beat you. You know, you need a spray. A couple times you need a spray. This is crazy how ugly those things are. And some people are like, no, they're pretty. The yellow flowers, you know. How many hate morning glory? Okay, there's another one, right? Those are pretty white little flowers. And it's like, no, these are weeds. These are weeds. And it's funny to think and imagine, who plants weeds? Who, to your knowledge, has ever planted a weed? No, they just grow. But it's your job and my job to remove that. That's really, what is the purpose of removing is so that the grass itself that's meant to be there actually stay healthy. There's so much scripture about how God has blessed the earth and God has blessed us. But because of sin, there are some things in the earth that need to be removed. And you got to be careful about when you remove them. The disciples came to Jesus and said, the field that we planted, thorns came in and just caught it. He goes, you want us to pull the weeds out? And Jesus says, no, let them grow. Because if you pull them out now, you're going to hurt the actual plant that's there. He goes, you got to let them grow. We're strong enough for the plant that's there, strong enough. You can't just go and start ripping everything out. You got to be there. So why am I sharing all this now on even emphasizing Earth Day? Mankind has had a bad habit of loving, worshiping what's created more than the Creator. In the Ten Commandments, that we should have no idol. We should not worship anything of any graven image. That we should not go and pray to wood or to stone or to any aspect of nature. But many people have literally have used this phrasing and this term and said that, you know, my church is nature. My church is here. True. You could go to church anywhere. You can have your experience with God anywhere. But when we have a tendency to say that the first phase of going into a time of worshiping nature itself is by actually stating that my spiritual experience comes from nature. As many people watch this video of Disney on Earth Day, and then you hear about all the movement of being green. I mean, I'm all for that. We're all trying to see. It's my job and your job as Christians, as believers. Our job is to take care of this earth. I think, if anything, it is the number one thing that each one of us should do is to take care of what's going on around us in every setting. I remember watching a video one time in South America, and where the people themselves started repenting and praying to God. And as they were doing that, they were literally, that town was known to have more bars in it and more jails than it did churches or Christians. But there was a movement of revival that came through, and they got on their knees and they started repenting, they started praying. And it got to a place that such a movement came in that the people started changing, that not only that they were blessed, as they were blessed, their ground was blessed. This video showed how before it was barren and dry and there was nothing there. The weeds and the thorns, and there was nothing growing in the fields. But when this movement of revival came through, when the Spirit of God came through, it literally blessed the fields where the vegetables, they showed pictures of the vegetables, where nothing would grow there before, they were these huge carrots and these huge potatoes, and how the blessing came. Many of you think of Israel, and maybe all you've seen are the pictures of Israel of the past, of nothing but a desert and stone walls and stuff like that. But I'm not sure if you're aware of that Israel, Jerusalem and Israel in the area, was just nominated as the 7th most greenest country and city in the world. It's something. At one time when it was nothing but desert and they said nothing would grow there. But when Israel became a nation again, when they brought in the glory of God, everything changed and everything moved. Nature gets blessed because of you. we don't get blessed because of nature. Even though I say, oh, I love to golf. I'm not a good golfer, but I love to golf. I've been coaching it now 7+ years. But people ask me, so why do you, I love being on the golf course. I love being in a green setting. I love being in a setting where there's the fountains and the water, and sometimes there's certain animals that will, you know, be on the golf course. And I love to be in a beautiful park. I mean, who doesn't? When you're going to go, we're going to go to the park. You don't want to go to a place where it's all messed up. You want to go somewhere nice. We all love being a part of something green and beautiful in that setting. But when you are the one to understand that the place around you gets blessed because of you, more so than you get blessed because of the place. I know that may sound a little odd. It may sound a little different. But what I'm trying to get at is that each one of us have a responsibility to carry the presence of God wherever we go. And so that wherever you go, you know, because you are there, that place is going to change. I kind of emphasized this the last time I was here, that you walk into a room, it changes the room. You walk into any setting you're in, it changes. Not because of you, meaning arrogant, conceit, and thinking, you know, proud and boast of who you are, but because of the presence of God in you. Your house changes, your workplace changes, your neighborhood changes, this world changes. Because you carry the presence of God with you. Because wherever you go. So, on those times when you say, hey, I'm going to go out and go hiking. I'm going to go out and go to the lake this Sunday. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to go vacation on a beautiful setting. As much as you would say, oh, those places relax me. Those places, I mean, I feel close to God. It should be the reverse. And even more impacting. I'm going to go to a place where it's beautiful because there I know I'm going to meet with God. It's not because God is in the forest, God is at the lake, God is at the beach. No, it's because God is within me. And where I go, think about that. As much as you go to a setting and you say, God, I believe so much that you're in me. And because wherever I'm at, it's going to be beautiful. God, wherever I'm at, it's going to be great. You could be in the ugly, most craziest setting. You know, I just mentioned that we were in Brooklyn. How many have been to Brooklyn? Okay. I mean, have you been in some of the rough parts of Brooklyn? We're talking maybe Flatbush, some areas of Bushwick. It was pretty rough. It was pretty tough. We had to go through there from the airport heading to the place that we were going. And I was looking at some of these cities and I thought, you know, I've been in Utah too long because there's clearly no ghettos in Utah compared to this. And seeing people on the streets, it'd be the same as when I'm in L.A. and I see some parts of L.A. that are just hard and bad, and San Francisco is the same. But even in settings like that, to a believer who lives in there, who walks those streets, it's a beautiful setting. Why? Because God is here. God is moving and God is doing something here. You and I have a responsibility to do what we can to make everything around us better than what it was. I love when we host short-term mission teams. Last year, we served over 700 kids from out of state that came in. And this year, probably close to that as well. I've got the summer book for groups that are coming in. And I say the number one thing that is priority on your list is your salvation with God. The number two thing, picking up trash. And they're like, what? I go, you have to pick up trash. I mean, for you to walk by trash and to think, oh, somebody else will get that. I'm too good to pick that up. Here I'm working with these teenagers and trying to help them understand that, hey, God blessed us with this place. God gave us this earth. God gave us this beautiful place that we can be. And we can go into the roughest neighborhood or the dirtiest setting and we could say, look, I got vision to see what God could do with this place. It's my job and your job to do everything we can to make sure the place that we live in is better than what it was before. To teach and work with all our leaders and saying, look, if we go to a restaurant, we want to make sure this place is cleaner than we left before, not just leave it a mess and just walk away. I always make sure, I'm not talking to my own personal kids as much as they included, but I'm talking about like my golf team or we got any youth group. I say, you make sure you clean up, you wipe, ask them for a wet rag, go wipe the table down. And usually the waiters and waitresses are like, what are you doing? No, we got to leave this place cleaner than what we got it. We got to leave this place better than what we got it. My job and your job is to be in a setting where we know that everything is going to be better because of you. No, because of God in you. So what does all this have to do with Jesus being on earth? Jesus died. He rose again. But in that time frame before he ascended into heaven, he was on earth and he kept popping in and out. And there is a setting, a story here in the book of John that he actually addresses Peter. A lot of you are familiar with the story as he was there. John chapter 21, verse 15. And it says this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I tell you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted, but when you were old, you had to stretch out your hand and someone else had to dress you and to lead you where you do not want it to go." Jesus said this because of the kind of death that Peter was going to take. In other words, that he would live an older age. I want to think about this. Jesus died. He rose again. He appears. He sees them out in the water. And they were saying, "How long have you been fishing?" He said, "All morning. And got nothing." He goes, "Throw your net on the other side." They did. They filled up so much fish. They came in. When they came to shore, Jesus was literally had a fire already. He was cooking breakfast. And he had this conversation with Peter. And he says, "Do you love me?" And he asked him three times. In the Jewish culture, when you say anything twice, even three times, you even ask something three times, there's a strong emphasis to that. In the King James Version, if you've heard this, it said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "Truly, truly, I say unto you." When they emphasize it twice, it's because it has such an important focus. Like, here, listen to me, listen to me. You hear someone say that? "Come here, come here." That second emphasis. In this setting, he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter didn't understand. Some people believe that Jesus asked three times because it was three times that Peter denied Jesus. And so he was asking him three times, "Do you love me?" But the thing that he emphasized, he goes, "If you love me, then, if you love me, I want you to do something for me." "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." Now, this is what I want to emphasize. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." And he says again, "Feed my sheep." What is he talking about? Is he saying, okay, Peter, stop being a fisherman, become a shepherd? Is he talking about maybe take care of my people? Is he talking about maybe taking care of those because sheep need to have a shepherd? They need to have somebody to guide them? Because sheep typically, if you've ever been around sheep or know anything about sheep, that they're referred to as dumb animals. Okay, you need to guide them, you need to lead them. So how do you take care of sheep? In Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." He also says he leads me into green pastures. You see, here, the idea of taking care of sheep, taking care of people, has to do with also taking care of this earth. and taking care of every situation and making sure that the people that you're leading, the people that you care about, the people that you want to make sure that you are doing everything you can to make sure they're in a safe and beautiful place and environment. Remember the promised land? When the people of Israel came out of Egypt and they were in the land of not enough in Egypt, they were in the land of just enough in the desert, but the promise was to be in a land of more than enough. And he says that land of more than enough, the promised land is flowing with milk and honey. Well, think about that. You see, God created this earth in this beautiful setting, the Garden of Eden. What did Adam and Eve do? They took care of this beautiful place. Flowing with milk and honey. Well, in order to have milk, you have to have cows. In order to have cows, you got to have grass. In order to have grass, you got to have water. Flowing with milk and honey. In order to have honey, you need to have bees. In order to have bees, you got to have flour or flowers or plants that they can get what they need from that. So what is this promised land looking like? This promised land of God that God had promised is a place, think about it, it's beautiful. To me, reminds me of a golf course. It's got water, it's got flowers, it's got green grass, it's got animals, it's got all this. So God cares so much about this earth. He cares about it, but does he care more about this earth than he cares about the people? No, because this earth was created for the people. But man in his greed has done a lot to destroy in some parts of South America as they've killed the rainforest and other settings because of industry and so many things. There has to be clearly a well balance. How does that all apply to you and I today? Your world, where you're at. Maybe right now we can't change South America. Maybe we can't do too much about what's going on in Africa or in Asia and other places. But you and I have the ability to impact and beautify our world around us and make sure that the place around us is safe and to make sure the people that we're responsible for are getting the very things that they needed, that they need. Food, clothing, shelter, a place of acceptance where they can be treated medically, where they can be in a safe environment and out of trouble. God has never changed from the old to the new. He created us to worship Him, not to worship anything else. When I look at people celebrating Earth Day, I think it's great that we can go out and partner together to clean up. But my friend, Earth Day, anything that comes from the earth, anything that it's created, stone, wood, water, focusing on worshiping anything else other than God is where we miss it. I know there's probably some here that say, Alper, we need to, you know, focus on the environment more. We need to go and do this. I'm all for doing that because according to the Word of God, it's my job and your job to beautify this place and make sure that we keep this place clean and going. But when we put taking care of the community before I take care of the person, I'm a little saddened what's going on with a lot of our homeless people downtown right now. But it's not just Salt Lake City, it's all over the place. I understand if you've been downtown, if you've been on 2nd and you've been right there near the train tracks, it's a crazy setting. Something clearly needs to be done. But my friend, I'm at this place where they say, well, we want to beautify the city. We want to clean this mess up. I understand that. But when we're talking about these are lives and these are individuals and we're trying to see how we can fix this situation, in other places, in other cities, dealing with the people, it's like, let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of those people so we can get nice apartments and we can do high rises and we can do and have this beautiful setting where tourists can come and we forget about the people. See, this is probably, if anything, what I'm saying overall. He says, look, if you love me, then take care of my sheep, take care of my people. Well, how do I take care of them? Beautify the place. But keep the focus on the people. Go after the people. Reach the people. For God so loved the world. Is he talking about earth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Is he just talking about this earth and this planet? No, he's talking about the people on this earth. It all flows together, but we got to put things into perspective. We all want to be in a safe place. We all want to live in a nice area. We all want to do our job. We all have dandelions to pull. But if we forget about the people, we forget about my direct neighbor next to me, then we missed it. Jesus emphasizing again, do you love me? If you love me, then do these things. Why was this message so important before he ascended? Because this is one of the last messages, if not the last message, Jesus gives before he says, I'll be back. So all these 2,000 years, this is the last words that we're hearing from Jesus himself, is the idea, look, if you love me, if you say you really love me, then go out there and take care of my people. How do you take, and he used the emphasis sheep, how do you take care of sheep? Get them the grass, get them the water, get them. We got to take care of this whole thing all together in one shot. I was sharing with Steve in the back that I said, you know, I have a tendency to have maybe one theme in every time I preach. And it's basically that, get out of your seat and get into the street and go do something. No apologies to that. This is the passion and the burden that I have, and this is probably why I'm a missionary. And I speak where I can, and I share the same message, but in different passages of Scripture, because to me, it all flows in the same vein. It all flows that we all have a responsibility. You want life to be better for you? Then have the blessings of God go through you, not to you. Have God, what he has, so wanting to bless your life so much that he pours through you, and that you, and we come many times, we come to church and say, God, where are you? God, look at my problem. Look at my situation. You want it to change? My friend, then start focusing on those around you. You say, God, I love you. I love you. Why is this happening to me? And he's going to say the same response. Feed my sheep then. You want your life to change? Feed my sheep. You want your situation to change? Feed my sheep. You want your house, your relationship with your kids, your everything? Feed my sheep. Don't stop feeding my sheep. Don't stop taking care of what's your responsibility. You keep doing what you're doing and let me do the rest. But you got to do your part. I got to do my part. We got to be taking care of this land. We got to be taking care of the people around it. We got to be doing everything we can until Jesus comes, that we don't get tired in doing well, that our focus is clearly always, God, what can I do? Where can I go? Who can I reach? This earth was made for us, not instead of us. God wants to do something great in your life. And these days that we have prior to Pentecost Sunday coming up in the future, Jesus said, wait here in Jerusalem when he ascended, and then I will be back. I will send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, and that Holy Spirit came and empowered them to be witnesses all over. In the time those that they were waiting until that upper room experience, they had one message. You love me? Take care of each other. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs, the little ones. Take care of people. Get them the food. Get them the drink. Get them the medical care. Help them out of trouble. Do what you have to do. I guarantee you, my friend, your life will be rocked. Your life will be changed when we actually answer those three questions and say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. I know our lives get busy. I know we get so caught up in our own world just trying to make ends meet. But we still have a mandate from God to go where we have to go, into the highways and the byways, and compel them to come in. So would you stand with me? Thank you. Next couple weeks here in May, have a chance to share with you again. We're just going to continue. And I love it with our preaching team here. with all the guys and everybody having a chance to share, because then you get a well-balanced meal. Because if all you hear from me is just get out there, well, we need others to come in and share about discipleship and our foundations of truth and understand about what it means to be a leader, understand what it means to be in every aspect of ministry. I'm just honored to be a part of this team here and be able to share with you guys. So I guess you know when, okay, it's Alfred's turn, get your seatbelt on. He's going to try to, you know, he's going to challenge us again. Challenge, yes. Guilt trip, no. No. Earth Day is great. But let's thank God above who created this earth and not worship earth itself, forgetting mankind. Let me pray, and then I'll have the team. Lord, I thank you so much for just my friends that are here, Lord. For those that couldn't be here, God, we prayed for those that were sick and others that couldn't be here. But we do pray, God, that you would just move in this body more and more. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful to you. Help us to understand what is it that, Lord, you came for, that none would perish. Lord, I know in my message I was probably all over the place. But God, I know through your word people understand we have a responsibility, God. A responsibility to take care of this planet and take care of the people on it. But Lord, our praise and our worship goes to you only. Never to a block of wood or a stone or to a river or to the wind or the fire. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Because we know, Lord, when we're blessed, everything around us, even the ground, gets blessed. Help us, Lord. You said, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face, then you would pour out your spirit and even their land would be healed. Thank you, Lord. My friend, as your eyes are closed, and just take a moment as the worship team, just take a moment to just love on God right now. Take a moment to thank him for the provision that he's put in you. And then ask him, Lord, help me. As you've provided in me, let me be a blessing to others, so that wherever my foot goes, I bless those around me. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.